And welcome to our program. I'm Richard Dugan, and I thank you for joining us for Walk With Me, Talk With Me. The program is called Tell Me Your Story, providing you choices, providing you knowledge. My guest today is a longtime good friend, and we have stayed in touch over the years. He is a Vedic astrologer. Now, the program isn't going to focus specifically on these types of subjects. We're going to have a lot of different types of materials and guests and subject matter as we provide you choices and knowledge that you can use to move forward in your life. My guest is the author of Astrology for Life, How to Be Your Own Vedic Astrologer, and his name is David Hawthorne. David, it's great to have you on the program, and for the first time in a long time, actually live on the radio, talking about a lot of these different things. Good to have you here.
Well, thank you very much, Richard, for having me as a guest. I've always enjoyed working with you in the past on your various radio shows, so it's great to be back with you.
Well, we have a lot of sort of ground to cover, so to speak, to bring people up to speed on not only what Vedic astrology is, but also what David Hawthorne is all about, and how you became an astrologer. We'll define Vedic astrology in just a few moments, because just as at the outset, it's not what you think it is, folks. You need to be aware that it is not quite what you're thinking of as the typical astrological predictions and those types of things that you would get. How did you become a Vedic astrologer, let alone astrologer? And I see most astrologers, I don't know why, women, but there are more and more men getting involved in this particular area of metaphysics and so forth.
Well, let's see. The way I got involved was just, and I consider myself the accidental astrologer. I did not set out to be a professional astrologer, but it's life happens, and you just take it as it comes, and one thing leads to another. But my your show is called Tell Me Your Story, so I'll give you a brief background. But I was born and raised in San Francisco. And I was part of the 60s generation, and I actually lived in Haight-Ashbury and had friends like Janis Joplin, and I knew Alan Watts and Ginsberg and Timothy Leary and all these great bands that played in those days. I'm still friends with Charlie Musselwhite and other musicians from those days. So that was kind of so I did have a little bit of an esoteric, progressive, liberal background, as it were. But somewhere along the line, I realized that I needed to get serious with life, and I ended up getting married and settled down and went back, and I actually went into advertising marketing and went to work for an advertising agency back east. And at some point, in the hectic lifestyle, I heard about a practice of meditation. So I went to a lecture on meditation, and I learned meditation, and I really thought I would meditate for probably a few weeks or a few months. I've been meditating now for 34 years, and during the course of the meditation, I began to look into Indian culture, like Ayurveda, which is Indian healthcare, and Sanskrit, and our family actually lives here in a little community in the Midwest called Fairfield, Iowa, where there are 2,000 families practicing meditation, and we moved here. The university here has the whole faculty practices meditation. The students and faculty are meditators. We have a lot of vegetarian and Indian food restaurants here in town. And it's a very creative, eclectic town. There's a lot of musicians and artists, and it's a very creative community, akin to the kinds of things we had in Sausalito and Haight-Ashbury in the old days, but not without the hippiedom element, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, 30-some-odd years ago, I had a Western astrology reading, and I loved it. I thought, this woman is brilliant. Astrology has some value. I wanted to learn it for myself, but I just felt it was too complicated. And then 20 years ago, I had a Vedic astrology reading, and I was so impressed with the knowledge that I thought, I need to know this for myself. I need to know this for my wife and my children. I need to know this finer level, this deeper level of knowledge about how these planets are operating in my life and when they're operating and what are the remedial measures for my life. So I began studying 20 years ago, And the first 10 years, I just did classical training. I went through 108 books on Vedic astrology and 2,000 hours of course materials on audio tapes and videotapes. But then 10 years ago, I found a professor on the internet in India, and I just thought this guy was just so brilliant. And I began to study with him, and I studied for a number of years. I went on to receive my master's degree and my professorship in Vedic astrology from India. And we've developed an organization. We have an International Institute of Predictive Astrology. We have 700 Vedic astrologers worldwide in our organization. I'm the president of that organization, and I've co-authored a book with my professor called Astrology for Life, How to Be Your Own Vedic Astrologer. So that's kind of my beginning, and if you'd like, I can describe a little bit about Vedic astrology.
Well, we want to definitely go into that. I want to let our listeners know that at the bottom of the hour at 11:30, we're going to open up the phone lines because our guest, the author of Astrology for Life, David Hawthorne, is going to, I think the way you phrased it, David, is you're going to become the 32nd astrologer, utilizing information that, some basic information from the individuals to provide them with some basic information. And obviously the,
right.
the chart that is created through this, method of Vedic astrology is not something that is predicting your future, and it's not calling the shots per se, saying this is going to happen, that's going to happen. Basically, what David will do is give you a very cursory, we'll call it a roadmap, that's going to give you some of the potential twists and turns, the potential weather conditions and atmospheric and even geological conditions along that particular path of your life, that if I'm remembering from our previous interviews, David, those conditions, even if we were to take the same, and this is the interesting thing about Vedic astrology, you basically can take and create a single chart for an individual's life that's good for their lifetime. It's not something that's redone over and over again. Is that, am I remembering correctly?
Oh, absolutely. The main thing is if people call in with their date of birth, their place of birth, and I need their exact time of birth, then I have a little computer program, just takes a few moments, and I create their horoscope, their Vedic astrology chart. Now, what we say is that the horoscope, is, which is a reflection of where the planets were at the time of your birth, does set up the what we call karmas for this lifetime. Now, all of your karma does not manifest all at once unless you die at birth. If you survive birth, then karma is handed out over time. And so we have that, the timing of that karma. We know, we have the hands on the clock. We can see the past, present, and future general trends. So we can have, we do have this roadmap. And I usually, when I talk to my clients, I talk about three things. I say, this is the truth about how the planets are truly operating in your life. And this is when they are operating in your life, and these are the remedial measures. Now, my contention is that everything in the horoscope is destiny and will come to pass. But anything in the horoscope can be changed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what makes the difference is this. If you're not aware of your horoscope, if you don't know your destiny, this is what comes to pass. If you have problems in your horoscope, there's multiple marriages, multiple health problems, multiple financial problems, multiple emotional problems. And so we're walking around in this darkness. We don't have this awareness of our horoscope. In India, the word for Vedic astrology is Jyotisha, and it means the divine science of light and time. Now, I love those words, divine, divinity, science, logic, mathematics. And it's the study of light and time. So when we shed light on the horoscope, when we shed light on darkness, then the suffering and darkness recede. Then we can have some progress in our life. So we have to have, but progress comes from awareness. If we're not aware of where the draft is coming from, we're always going to have a draft. If we don't know which tire is low on air on our bus of life, we're going down the highway of life, ka-thump, 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 relative to that planet's signification. And the whole thing is just so logical. It has nothing to do with psychic ability, channeling, reading auras, talking to dead people. It's simply mathematics. We know that the sun represents father, mm-hmm. moon represents mother, Venus represents wife, Jupiter represents husband. If there are afflictions or debilitation or combustions or problems with these planets, then the person is going to have some swimming against the stream relative to those significations. Now, I do want to mention, and you're well aware of this, is that we are using Vedic astrology from India, which is thousands of years old. We are not using Western astrology, and we are not using the tropical zodiac. We are using sidereal zodiac. Now, there's a lot of similarity. We do use the Sun, Moon, Mars, Mercury, Jupiter, Venus, and Saturn. But we are 23 degrees earlier than Western charts. So, for example, if your Sun is in Leo in Western, it may shift back to Cancer. So there's a little bit of difference, but mm-hmm. basically it's very, you know, it's very easy to understand, very easy to comprehend, and it's very easy to use. Now, after these 20 years of studying and practicing Vedic astrology, I've come to believe that Vedic astrology leads to peace of mind and purpose of life. If you know who you are, you know thyself. If you know who you are, you know your strengths. You know your weaknesses. Now, I don't give sugar-coated false hope. I'm not going to tell somebody that you're spectacular and something's going to happen that's spectacular if it's not in the chart.
Mm-hmm.
If it is in the chart, I do tell them. I don't give sugar-coated false hope, and I don't go the other end either. I don't go into negativity. I won't tell a person when they're going to die, for example. I don't tell them negative things, or I don't tell them things that are weaknesses in a negative way.
And the chart doesn't necessarily tell you when you're going to die and that type of thing. I guess the best way to look at it is you may tell someone during this particular period of time you may face a life-altering event.
Very good. We can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is, you can, in the Vedic astrology chart, you can see health, you can see relationships,
okay. You
can see the emotional state, you can see financial state, you can see parents, siblings, children, spouse, and you can see health, and you can see longevity of life. We know whether there's a short lifespan, medium lifespan, or long lifespan.
Mm-hmm.
And we also know that if somebody's running certain sub-periods or certain transit afflictions, then they can be vulnerable during that time to death-like experiences or, as you say, life-altering experiences.
Now, when you use the phrase death-like experiences, doesn't necessarily mean that it is death, but that we have, I mean, even if I may say that even within a sexual connotation, that an orgasm is considered the little death. So, I mean, you're, and I'm not trying to tie those two together, but I'm just using terminology to say that it's a death-like experience.
Right. It could be a number of different experiences.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, if you'd like to participate in the program at 11:30, we're going to open up the phone lines. The number is 879-547-8879 5478 or KIST. And you can call in, and what I'll do is I'll get your name. We'll get your name. Now, again, we need the name, the birth date, and...
But the name is not so important.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
If they want to be private, that's fine.
Okay. So a birth date... birthplace, and of course in that date of birth time.
The exact time of birth, preferably from a birth certificate, not from, well, I think it was around sunrise.
Right.
You know, that's okay.
Yeah, and I actually had to go to my baby book to find mine when we first did my chart. I was like, I know it was early in the morning because I was told that I kept her up late. So anyway, 3:17 a.m. Yes. And mom is real happy about the fact that, she got rid of me at that time.
She got to rest a little bit.
She got to rest some anyway. Again, the number 879-5478, 879-KIST. My guest is the author of Astrology for Life, David Hawthorne. He also has a website, astroview.com, A-S-T-R-O-V-I-E-W. OVIEW.com. And I will also let you know that if you miss any part of this program or you'd like to hear it again, you will be able to do so at my website, which is richarddugan.com. Richard, obviously, R-I-C-H-A-R-D, then D-U-G-A-N.com. richarddugan.com is the website. You'll be able to go there. And it will be available starting tomorrow, the 9th of September. Here we are on the 8th of September, 2007, as we're talking with David Hawthorne about Vedic astrology. Now, there are four basic elements, which in essence you've already made reference to, that you start with after you have gotten the birth date, birth time, and birthplace of the individual. Let's go over those four elements so that people understand the elements that you're dealing with that you put together, or I shouldn't say that you put together, but that Vedic astrology puts together to create the chart or roadmap.
That's an excellent point that I didn't put this together. Vedic astrology, Jyotisha, was used by the ancient kings and queens and royal persons of India thousands of years ago. So it was known as Raj Vidya, and it's R-A-J-V-I-D-Y-A, Raj Vidya, which means kingly knowledge. So this was knowledge by the kings. This is not for couch potatoes. This is not for followers. This is for leaders. In fact, even J.P. Morgan was seen coming out of Evangeline Adams' house, and she was a known astrologer, and the reporter said, "Oh, Mr. Morgan, I see that millionaires see astrologers." He said, "No, astrology is for billionaires." So this has wonderful roots, and it can be complicated. It was hidden quite for many years, and a lot of astrologers are well-meaning, but they do kind of overcomplicate things. My professor in India taught me that there were that the whole chart is built on four elements, and the four elements are the 12 houses of life, and the 12 houses of life rule every single issue. If you ask me about older siblings, I go to the 11th house. Younger siblings, I go to the 3rd house. Mother, I go to the 4th house. Children, the 5th house. Marriage, the 7th house. Career, the 10th house. So father, the 9th house. So we just know what house to examine, number one. Now, in the houses, we put the signs. There are 12 signs of the zodiac, and they fit into the 12 houses. We put the whatever sign was rising at the time of your birth, your ascendant, we put that in the first house. But the 12 signs explain to us the different personalities. For example, you know, a Libra-born rising sign person is going to be ruled by Venus, very creative. Johnny Carson was a Libra. Clint Eastwood, a Libra. A woman saint by the name of Amici, she's a Libra. And yet, on the other hand, a Scorpio rising sign is going to be different from Libra. Scorpio is the 8th sign. It's a water sign. It's mysterious. A great Scorpio person is Bob Dylan. And, you know, successful and yet mysterious, secretive, private. So, and we know Sagittarius rising sign can be a great teacher, ruled by Jupiter, gives wisdom. So we have the 12 houses of life, we have the 12 signs of the zodiac, and the houses and signs are ruled by the planets, which are the Sun, Moon, Mars, Mercury, Jupiter, Venus, and Saturn. So if Sun, ruling father, is debilitated, afflicted, badly placed, then I know the person did not get complete support from their father or from authority figures, and they have trouble with their digestion and their heart and their blood and bones. So what I simply tell them is that if Sun happens to be a favorable planet for them, I say, let's strengthen the Sun. We can use the various gemstones, such as a ruby, for the Sun, and this will help their heart and their relationship with authority figures, their independence, wealth, status, and male children. So it's quite simple. We just examine the signs, the houses, and the planets. We note whether they're strong or whether they're weak, whether they're afflicted or badly placed or debilitated, and then we do the remedial measures. Now, I say to my clients, the best remedial measure you can do is to help your parents, the elderly, the poor and the needy, and afflicted persons. Then the next thing you can do is to be considerate to your own spouse and family and children, and that means in every thought, every word, every action, we are considerate, whether we are with them or not with them. All problems in relationships come about because somebody is being inconsiderate. So if we exercise consideration. And the other knowledge that I've learned from this is that sun is father, moon is mother. Therefore, sun is husband, moon is wife. Now, when the sun shines his light on the moon, she is bright. When the husband takes his light away from his wife, she becomes dark. So men don't understand why their wives become dark. They become dark because the husband is no longer putting his light on his wife. So the role of the man is to nourish his wife and his children with his light. Then she is bright. So the best way to do that is to be considerate to your spouse. So this knowledge really spills over into so many areas of life where we can really use this knowledge and benefit from it. So those were the first three elements, the houses, the signs, the planets. And the fourth element is simply the hands on the clock, what we call the planetary periods. And this can explain why somebody can rise high in life, like Richard Nixon or O.J. Simpson, only to fall from grace is because the clock, the hands on the clock changed. They went from a very positive time to a time that was less than ideal. Had they this knowledge, it would have changed destiny. For example, if I had been Princess Diana's astrologer when she married, I would have told her, no, wait one more year. She married at the tail end of an 18-year cycle, the final year, that was a year of change and letting go. It was not an ideal time to marry. 1 year later would have been better for her. So if we have this knowledge, we can use this to our advantage. So those are the four elements: houses, signs, planets, and planetary periods.
And again, as we begin the process of evaluating and putting together these four elements in creating the chart, the Vedic astrological chart, again, it gives us a basic roadmap of the things that we'll be traveling along. It's kind of like driving at night with or without the headlights. And I'd much rather drive with the headlights on. And preferably even in the sunlight, if we could get that going as well, and be able to see the twists and turns and the hazards and the other vehicles coming and animals crossing the road and potholes and changes that we wouldn't see without the light. So this is the reason why Tell Me Your Story is here, to provide you and give you choices and give you knowledge to help you to move forward in your life, to accomplish and achieve those things that you've so long desired to do. This is one of the things that I have so long desired to do, have been doing it for many years, and that is conducting these interviews and providing the opportunity for people like David Hawthorne, author of Astrology for Life, to help you and show you how that you can basically become your own Vedic astrologer, which, David, in one sense seems a little counterproductive for you, in as much as, well, but if everybody else becomes a Vedic astrologer, where's the work for David?
Well, there's 6 billion people on Earth and they all need an astrologer. I have plenty of business. That's not a problem. But a couple of things I want to say, and I love the fact that you are pursuing your heart's desires, and it's important for people to know that participation in one's own self-interests makes one lively, alert, and healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So the real goal in life is to have this independence. There's a wonderful book called The Yoga Sutras of Maharishi Patanjali. It's an old classical book on philosophy. Third chapter in the book was about the cities of the powers, like Siddhartha, the powers. But the fourth chapter, the final chapter, is called Kaivalya, which means absolute independence. And what everyone in life really wants is independence. Nobody wants to be in a bad marriage. Nobody wants to work for a bad boss. Nobody wants to be in prison. Nobody wants to be in a negative situation. People really want to be able to express themselves and to be their own self. Now, the thing that Vedic astrology has helped me do, the first 10 years I was just studying it and enjoying it and learning, but the last 10 years, when I started to use the remedies in my own life, I found that they did contribute to my peace of mind, my purpose of life. They helped me move some mountains. And the other thing is that karma is always going to come. But the question is, do we want to have big karma or little karma? In other words, do we want to have a major accident that takes our life, or do we want to have a small, you know, stub your toe kind of accident. So using this knowledge, now in my own life, in the life of my wife and children and clients, I've seen this over the last 10 years in a very significant degree, is that we do put air in our tires, and we do get to roll down the highway of life more smoothly. And the last 7, 8, 9 years have been just so sweet in my own life in terms of progress, in terms of happiness, in terms of fulfillment. Marriage has blossomed. My 3 children have blossomed. Both of my businesses are doing well. So I'm probably one of the happiest guys on planet Earth. I'm very content. I'm very happy. Life is effortless, totally effortless. And that's the way it should be for everyone. I don't feel like I'm swimming against the stream. I feel like my suffering has receded. I remember 34 years ago seeing a poster with Maharishi, and on that poster it said, "Life need not be suffering." And I thought, what is he talking about? Because 90% of my life in those days seemed to be struggle, whether at work or relationships or finances or what have you. And now, 34 years later, I can say, he's right. Suffering can recede. We can live this peace. We can have this inner fulfillment, this outer fulfillment, and you can use whatever you want to contribute to that, whether it's exercise or meditation or yoga or religion or spiritual practices, or maybe just being successful in business and successful in life, having a beautiful home, having a beautiful car, belonging to the country club, having some wealth. There's nothing wrong with that. That is a very fulfilling thing. In fact, I often say that those that are successful have time for God. See, if you're not successful, if you have no food on the table and you have no home and you're living in a tent or what have you, you're homeless and you have no food, you're suffering and you're struggling. And so who has time for God? You're out trying to figure out how to put food on the table. So those that are successful, they should have more time for God. They should have more time for their spirituality and their progress. But I think that one of the major contributors in my life, of course, has been meditation and doing charities. Those have been good. But having this knowledge of Vedic astrology, where I know the proper gemstones, I know the proper, you know, what planets to strengthen, what planets to propitiate. In other words, what planets to do charities for. If you do a few remedies for your chart, I really believe you can come out of your difficulties and have more smooth lifestyle.
It sounds to me an awful lot like really having the desire to know the conditions. You talk about air in the tires and so forth. Well, you know, we have been basically maintaining our 2 vehicles, and I try to check the oil, and I check the radiator fluid and the windshield wiper fluid, and check the pressure in the tires and so forth on both of our cars. I try to do that on a regular basis.
Right.
And hopefully that is a nice preventative maintenance, and that sounds to me an awful lot like what the Vedic astrology is all about. Now, what we're going to do, folks, we've got the phone lines open. We've got a line ringing. We're going to go to that in just a moment. You don't have to give your name, but we do need your birth date, birth time, and your birthplace. So, David, what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and jump on the phone here to our, well, we're going to jump on the phone when we do get our first caller, and hold the line, David. We're going to see who we have here. You're listening to Tell Me Your Story here on KIST 1340 Progressive Radio, and I'm Richard Dugan along with David Hawthorne, Vedic Astrology. And if you'd like to give us your first name, you're welcome to do so. If not, you can just give us your birth date, birth time, and birthplace. Who do we have on the line?
I'm a female here in Santa Barbara. I won't give my name.
That's fine.
My birth date, August 27, 1950.
Okay, that's August 27, 1950.
Born at 1:32 p.m.
On afternoon, 1:32 p.m.
In Waterloo, Iowa.
Okay, Waterloo, Iowa.
That's wild. Me. Very good. Okay, so this is... not a problem here. I'm just getting in Waterloo, and I now have the longitude, latitude, time zones, and what we say, your Vedic astrology chart. We read from the rising sign. The 8th sign was rising at the time of your birth, which is a Scorpio rising sign, and this is a water sign. It's a sign of intuition and creativity. Again, Bob Dylan is a Scorpio. John Kerry, who ran for president, is Scorpio rising sign. We say the most favorable planets for your particular rising sign include Sun, Moon, Mercury, Jupiter, and Saturn. These five planets will never cause harm in your life, and they are here to give you support, especially if they're strong and well-placed. Now, Sun, Moon, Mercury are fast-moving planets. They will bring many happy, short-lived events into your life on a regular basis. And Jupiter and Saturn are slow-moving planets. They will bring long-lived happy events. So you can have both short-lived happy events and long-lived happy events. Now, as I said earlier, talking to Richard, I do not give sugar-coated false hope. So if I say something positive, it's very real in the chart. And you have this incredibly positive position of the sun in your 10th house of career in its own sign of Leo. And this gives tremendous status in life, independence, and leadership. And you should be a king. You should be involved in politics, government, and leadership position, or even be a physician. And opposite sun is moon, meaning that you were born during a full moon. Now, full moon people are publicly noticeable. Wherever you go, people notice you, always. People say, look, there's a full moon. Everyone notices a full moon. So you're never going to be a quiet, you know, shy person that nobody notices, believe me. Now, because you are Scorpio rising, yes, that is a mystical sign and a mysterious sign. You may keep things quiet and private, but because you're born under a full moon, everybody still notices you. Now, your moon in Vedic astrology is in Aquarius. Now, yes, I know in Western astrology your sun is in Virgo, but no, you subtract 23 degrees, it comes back into Leo, and your moon, you subtract 23 degrees, comes back into Aquarius. So Aquarius moon makes you very unconventional, very imaginative, very inventive, and very much humanitarian efforts. I really like your moon in Aquarius, and it is also conjunct Guru, which is Jupiter. And Jupiter-moon conjunction for your particular chart is above average. In fact, it's called Gaja Kasari Yoga. And Gaja means the elephant, Kasari means the lion. You have the conjunction of the lion and the elephant, which is the symbol of aristocracy in India. So you are a royal person. In the jungle, all the animals know where the lion is and know where the elephant is at any particular time. So these are symbols of aristocracy, and you have that in the fourth house. It should be very good for property, fixed assets, good parents, happiness at home, and there's a strong connection with a career situation here. So you have some extremely above average power and energy in the chart. But a couple things I would want to work on. It's okay for you to strengthen your Saturn by wearing a blue sapphire gemstone, about 2 carats. This will help you with your fixed assets, property, domestic peace, happiness at home. But even more importantly, you can be wearing a 2-carat emerald. And you can wear that on the small finger of the left hand or the right hand or as a pendant on the chain. It should be an open setting. The back of the stone should touch the skin. Your Mercury is conjunct the southern node of the moon, Ketu, under the aspect of the northern node of the moon, Rahu. And on the positive side, it gives you tremendous mystical insights. It gives you the ability to have psychic flashes and intuition like nobody's business. Never doubt your intuition. You will have psychic flashes. On the negative side, it can cause skin eruptions, nervous tension, and it causes some problems with the respiratory canal. And in old age, it could cause Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, or dementia. So if you wear the 2-carat emerald gemstone and strengthen your Mercury, this will help your skin, your communications, your income, your friendships, fulfillment of desires. This will help your self-confidence, respiratory canal. All these things will improve by wearing the blue sapphire. Now, in order to reduce the impact of Rahu and Ketu, for Ketu, it's important for you to help holy man, holy woman, or spiritual organization. And you can also donate to animal shelters for stray dogs. And for Rahu, you help afflicted persons. In India, we would say feed the lepers. So in America, we could say donate for charities for cancer, AIDS, polio, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, that type of thing. So it's a twofold remedial measure, is to strengthen your Mercury and reduce the impact of Rahu and Ketu. The rest of the chart is really good. Now, you do have Mars in the 12th house. It says sometimes there's losses and expenses on account of conflict or disputes or litigation, and it can, from time to time, cause some financial difficulties or even health issues relative to the muscular parts of the body and the blood and immune system as well, so and your energy level. So for Mars, we don't strengthen Mars. Do not wear red coral gemstone, and do help brothers or men who are like brothers on Tuesdays. And the last one you have is Shukra, Venus. Venus is in the ninth house. It is considered well-placed, and this gives you good intimacy with your spouse. This gives you good success traveling abroad, spiritual journeys, and it's a good Venus. Should be good for your kidneys and pancreas and reproductive organs. This is above average chart in many, many respects. Now, you're in the 17-year Mercury main period, which lasts until November 2011, so you have four more good years of Mercury, and if we put that emerald on, that'll be extremely good for you. And your current sub-period is Jupiter, which runs until March 2009, and this should be a very good little window for you for wealth and status and happiness at home and property, that type of thing. So these are the main points from your chart.
Let me ask our caller.
Your book, and I just thank you so very much.
Well, before you go, I wanted to ask you a quick question. What do you think of Vedic astrology as you've heard David speak?
I didn't know much about it, except for a friend who's leaning towards it, and he came from the traditional, or what we look at mainly in Western society.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know much about it. I'm going to buy his book.
Does the reading resonate?
Pardon?
Did the reading resonate?
Okay.
Does it click with you? Does the reading that he gave you feel right to you? Does it click?
It does click.
Okay.
It does click.
Wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I cannot thank him enough, but I am going to let you go. I will not gloat.
Okay. Well, I hope you'll continue listening.
I'm getting the emerald ring, and I'm getting the sapphire as well.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for calling.
Thank you. God bless you.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. We're going to go to our next caller here in just a moment. If you'd like to give us a call, we have a line open at 879-5478, 879-KIST. This is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and my guest is David Hawthorne.
Doctor's fine.
You do have a PhD, so I guess I can refer to you as doctor. He's the author of Astrology for Life, and we're going to go to our next caller. And what is your birth date, birth time, and birthplace? And we'll need to move through these a little more quickly if we can, David, so that we can keep getting the folks covered here.
Okay, you ready for me?
Go ahead.
Yes.
Birth date, August 27th, 1939. Born in Los Angeles at 11:07 a.m.
Wonderful.
Well, I thought so.
Okay, August 27th, 1939, 11:07 a.m. Correct?
Yes.
Okay, good. So this gives the Libra rising sign, air sign ruled by Venus. And Venus has gone into the 11th house of Leo. So you're very independent, and you have the ability to fulfill your desires and to generate income and to generate friendships. You have a wonderful 11th house. You have Sun and Venus in the 11th house. This gives friendships with people in high positions, friendships with people in the arts, the fine arts, performing arts, and healing arts. And you have a tremendous ability to fulfill your desires, and you will always gain income through a royal and artistic pursuit in life. For your chart, Sun, Moon, Venus, Jupiter, Saturn and Mars are the favorable planets. These can and should be strengthened if necessary. You have a great Sun, a great Venus. They don't require strengthening measures. You can wear a red coral gemstone to help your marriage, relationships, property, fixed assets. Because Moon is in your fourth house, it's okay for you to work out of your home. You have a wonderful Moon in this chart. Jupiter, ruling the third house, has gone into the sixth house. It's good for you to wear a yellow sapphire gemstone to strengthen your liver and gallbladder and hips, which are vulnerable to replacement. So yellow sapphire gemstone is very good. And exercise a lot of patience before you speak. Some people will misunderstand you, take it the wrong way, and it will create conflict. So just think duct tape. In other words, put duct tape over before you talk, because you're a very bright, intelligent, creative, courageous person. But other people may not take it the right way if you're not careful.
It sounds like it resonates for her, too.
Now, I would absolutely wear a one-carat diamond, because I do now see an aspect of K2, the southern node of the Moon, on your Venus. This will weaken the kidneys, the pancreas, and reproductive organs, and it can undermine your health and even your reputation. You do have a very mystical component to you, which is wonderful, but wear that one-carat diamond for better results in life. Now, do not ever wear an emerald gemstone. There has been some affliction of Mercury in your house of career and your house of home life or happiness at home. This can bring losses and expenses or separations. So do not wear an emerald. Remove an emerald. Sell them. Give them away. Don't wear emeralds. And one of the remedies for this chart is to help children and students on Wednesday. So you can do some tutoring or donations or service. This, you want to do the twofold remedies. Also, the blue sapphire gemstone, 2-carat blue sapphire gemstone is necessary. There's some weakness of your teeth, neck, back, spine, knees, joints, and ankles. Saturn was debilitated on the day you were born, and this means sometimes you worry too much and you don't always trust other people. Mm-hmm. So wear that blue sapphire gemstone, and this will help a lot.
I will tell you that my wife, who is in studio with me today, was told by David about 5 or 6 years ago not to wear red, and hasn't worn red ever since, and feels just fine. Thank you very much. So it's not an unusual request, and it's not a real problem, and I thank you for calling. By the way, how does his reading resonate with you?
It is so right on. I'm speechless.
Well, I certainly hope that you will maybe check out his website, astroview.com. Check out our website as well, richarddugan.com. This interview will be available there, and his book, Astrology for Life. And I thank you very much for calling.
Thank you so much.
You bet, and keep listening.
I will do that. Bye.
Well, bye-bye. David, let's go on to our next caller here as we move forward. We have about 15 minutes left, and we only have time for probably two more. So we'll go ahead with our first of two. And what is your birth date, birth time, and birthplace?
Hello? Is this me?
That is you.
Oh, okay. Birth date, December 27th, 1951. The time is 8:59 p.m. and Los Angeles.
Okay, so December 27th, 1951.
Correct.
At 8:59 p.m.
Correct. Los Angeles.
Okay, and that's in Los Angeles.
Yes.
Okay, very good. So on this one now, we end up with the, at the time of your birth, the fifth sign of the zodiac was rising, so your ascendant or rising sign is Leo. Leos are independent, intelligent people. They sometimes will call in and take some advice, but in the end, they do things their own way. And Sun ruling your chart has gone into the fifth house. It gives you higher education, male child. It gives you success through investments. And Sun is the soul. It's called Atma Karaka, the significator for the soul. And your Sun is in Sagittarius. That means you are a do-gooder. That means you're generous. You will help other people. You will give your shirt off your back. And it makes you natural-born teacher. You can learn anything and teach anything. However, because you're Leo, you may not be comfortable just being a teacher. Leo is not so much let me rephrase that. Leos are independent, intelligent leaders, whereas your sun in Sagittarius makes one more a professor, a teacher, you know, helping other people. Now, it would be very good for you to wear a yellow sapphire gemstone, 2-carat yellow sapphire gemstone. This will help your liver and gallbladder and hips, which are also vulnerable in your chart. And this also, this position of Jupiter in your chart causes some weakness relative to higher education and relative to children. And so we do want to strengthen that Jupiter. It does say that there could be some windfalls or easy money for you through speculative investments. Now, for this particular chart, do not wear white colors. Do not buy a white car. And if you meet a total stranger and the stranger's wearing white colors, driving a white car, wearing pearls, that person, you can be nice to that person, but that's not ideal for you. One of the remedies for your chart is to help your mother or mother-in-law or elderly women on Mondays, and do not wear white or pearls. You can wear a yellow sapphire for your chart. You have Saturn ruling partnerships and relationships is in the house of wealth and status, so you can have some wealth and status through marriage, relationships, partnerships. You also have Mars in that house. It gives you some good fortune through your own family life. Venus can be strengthened if you wear a 1-carat diamond on the ring finger of the right hand or as a pendant on the chain. This will help you with your independence and your entrepreneurial self-effort, self-interests. So the diamond is quite good for you. You do have a good, solid Mercury in this chart ruling the second house, so I do think you come from a good family. There's some good family wealth and status, and maybe it's even through marriage and partnerships. Those are very good for you in this chart. It's also important for you to help afflicted persons and to help holy persons. Do not wear the pearl, I've said. So yellow sapphire and diamond, those two gemstones for you would really contribute to your life in general.
How does that reading gel with you or resonate with you, sir?
I'm fairly speechless as well. It's right on the money on many aspects, especially the professor intelligence and teaching thing. I do have a question.
Sure.
You said
sure.
Don't wear white. You mean like even white T-shirts or just...
Yeah, for you, over time, phase out white. We don't buy white things in the future. Even white underwear, we don't buy anymore. We use go for grays and blues and greens.
Got it.
But
okay.
For you, green colors are great. Dark blue colors are great. Black is great. Greens, reds are great, ruby colors are great for you, those kinds of things. White for you is a red flag. It's a danger. It makes you weak. And what happens because Moon rules your 12th house, it makes you touchy, sensitive over time. It brings lightweight, short-lived problems on a regular basis. So if somebody calls you up and says, look, I got a bone to pick with you, I got a problem with you, you say, fine, let's meet tomorrow. Because if it's caused by the Moon, it'll be gone tomorrow. And you go meet that person, they go, oh, I'm sorry, that problem got solved last night. So the thing is, sometimes...
That never happens to me, fortunately, but okay.
Okay, good.
Good.
All right, well, nice chatting with you.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling, and I hope you'll continue listening.
Great, I surely shall. Thank you.
And you're listening to Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, along with David Hawthorne, the author of Astrology for Life. And you can also go to his website, astroview.com. And this interview will be available at richarddugan.com tomorrow. And we certainly hope that you will check out his website as well as ours and find out more about the programming that's coming up in the coming weeks. Next week, we're going to have a gentleman who I've also interviewed a number of times and enjoyed it. And his name is Greg Braden. He's written several books, The God Code, as well as The Divine Matrix, and we'll be finding out about those elements as well and how they play into your life, what kind of information he can impart to us that will assist us in moving forward in our lives as well. Let's go to our last caller who has a birth date, birth time, and birthplace for us. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Dominique, and my birthday is August 19th, 1981. I was born at 2:41 a.m. in Los Angeles.
Another early riser.
Very good. August 19th, 1981, 2:41 a.m., Los Angeles, California. So this gives the Gemini rising sign, ruled by Mercury. Bill Gates, by the way, is a Gemini rising, so Gemini risings can do very well. it is an air sign, so they're intelligent, intellectual people. I suspect you have a large phone bill because Geminis, right? Geminis okay. like to talk. And so what happens is that Gemini is called the twins. So male, female in one body, you're both. And the wholeness of having two people inside you says that sometimes marriage comes later because you're not so much interested in that thing. You're more interested in life and social life. Mercury ruling your chart has gone into the third house, so you're fiercely independent. You want to do things your own way. And you have Mercury and Sun conjunction, which is quite favorable for your chart. It's okay for you to wear an emerald gemstone. It's okay for you to wear a ruby gemstone. But it's okay for you to pursue independence and entrepreneurial activities associated with government, associated with medicine, associated with business and communication and writing. Because you have Moon in Pisces, you're very tender-hearted. You wear your heart on your sleeve. You love people. You love life. You will cry at weddings. You will cry over music. You will cry in the movies. You have an empathetic nervous system. You can walk into a room, and you know what everybody else is feeling. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So Moon in Pisces is very, very good for you. It gives wealth and status through public favor. You have the ability in this chart to get in front of the public and for the public to appreciate you. You can work in connected with hotels, restaurants, hospitals, entertainment, teaching, import, export, social work, psychology. That's very good. The one gemstone that's absolutely critical for this chart, absolutely necessary, is a one-carat diamond gemstone. Where you can wear that on the ring finger of the left or right hand or as a pendant on a chain. You need the diamond because Venus was debilitated on the day you were born. This weakens the kidneys, the pancreas, and reproductive organs. It undermines the amount of higher education, and it limits the number of children. So strengthening Venus is important for you. I like the Saturn-Jupiter conjunction in your chart. It brings some good fortune to you through your parents, through property, through your marriage, and divine grace. This Venus has really got a problem. Get off of sugar. Do not take sugar. Read a book called The Rosedale Diet. But what happens in this chart, it shows that there can be blood sugar problems, including diabetes, obesity, cancer. So we want to wear that one-carat diamond, and also to reduce the impact on Venus, it's good to help holy man, holy woman, or spiritual organization, and donate to animal shelters for stray dogs. Those are good little remedies for you. You have Mars in the first house. You're very courageous, very direct, and these are the main points from your chart.
Dominique, how does that resonate with you?
It resonates pretty well, actually. I'm impressed. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for calling, and I hope that you'll stay tuned.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You guys have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye. And you're listening to Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan along with David Hawthorne, and we are fast approaching the end of our program. It's amazing how fast an hour goes by, David. And every time we get together, it's just absolutely amazing. Things go by so quickly. I do want to give out some information, and those of you who would like to get in touch with David can go through astroview.com. Can they use your email address at Astroview, David?
David@astroview.com.
Okay. And that's that simple.
And if they want to call me, I'm in southeast Iowa, and my phone number is area code 641-472-3799.
And again,
nothing fancy, just my number.
There you go, 641-472-3799. And that's
right.
David Hawthorne. He is the author of Astrology for Life, has a website, astroview.com, where you can look at all of the various elements that make up Vedic astrology. Get more information if you were one of the four folks who were on the today and said, boy, that was amazing. I need to find out more about this. And David, would you say that there are some folks who, no matter how much information you provide them from their chart, they still remain extremely skeptical, or do they sort of kind of turn a little bit more and become more accepting of what it is that you have to offer?
Well, that's a good point. And first off, if people are skeptical to begin with, then that's fine. I honor that skepticism, and those people don't usually call me anyways. But I've done some readings for people who have had me do a reading for their son or their husband or their spouse or something, and I, you know, I do things by, you know, I send audio files to people, and then, you know, that skeptical person will actually hear it through their spouse or their parent or something, and they'll come around. They'll say, yeah, well, wow, this is different than what I thought it was, and it is relevant,
mm-hmm.
and it's accurate, and it's helpful.
Now, you can take a look at a person's chart, and for a particular period in time, are you able to take a look and go down with a microscope and say, okay, for the next year or two or three, here are the conditions on the roadmap of your life that you need to be aware of?
Absolutely.
So let's just say my wife and I moved here in May of 2006. The real irony is, folks, that it's better to call David and get information of events that are upcoming rather than after the fact, because you may not be real thrilled with the results or the answers that you get, because, again, David does not sugarcoat your chart in any way, shape, or form. But we've been very fortunate that our intuition has helped us move forward. And here we are a year and almost a year and a half later doing a radio program, and so apparently the timing for us wasn't too bad, and our timing here on the program is just about over. But I thank you again for joining us, and let me remind our listeners one more time, David, they can get in hold of you through david@astroview.com. They can call you at 641-472-3799. They can also go to your website, astroview.com. They can go to our website, richarddugan.com. They can get more information. Go to the website, check out the basic information about upcoming programs. Next week it will be Greg Braden, author of The God Code and the Divine Matrix. And David Hawthorne, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Richard Dugan. David, stay on the line. I'm Richard Dugan. Thank you very much for joining us again. Check out richarddugan.com and email me at richard@richarddugan.com.